Pizzacast. I'm Neil.
And I'm Simon. And this week, Neil, I'm using it as an opportunity to complain.
Oh, no.
Well, I know there's some positive things in there. It just starts with a few complaints.
Radio.
The Nexus 6P has gone back.
Mm.
Kept it for 2 days.
It's a long time.
I felt I gave it a real thorough go, 2 days.
So what was the problem?
It was just, I'd bought a premium phone.
Yeah.
And thanks to the accessibility, I just didn't feel like I was getting a premium experience.
Right.
And remember I told you that the build quality for me, I could tell, you know, there's a few issues with the fit, wasn't perfect.
Okay, yeah.
Those things start to niggle me. And you know, it niggled me even more when I got out my Nexus 5.
Yeah.
There's not one fit issue. Perfect.
Right.
On the Nexus 5.
So do you think it's a manufacturer issue?
That fit is definitely a manufacturer issue. Obviously, they've decided what the tolerances are, and that phone must meet the tolerance.
Yeah.
But on a premium phone, I would perhaps suggest the tolerances need to be a little tighter. Because when you compare it to another premium phone,
yeah,
the tolerances... But yeah, it was just the software. It just really ruined it for me. It hasn't put me off Android. It's just put me off owning a premium flagship.
Yeah.
And what really ruined it for me is when I tried to return it. It was one of the most painful return procedures I've ever done. And it really highlighted the fact it was not a premium experience.
Right.
To return the phone, you go online. We all return stuff now on Amazon. You click return.
Yeah.
You return it. You know? Apple, you click return, you return it. You click return, they have to do a callback. So then a Google representative calls you to ask why you would possibly ever want to send it back. What's wrong? I was like, well, I'm blind, accessibility is terrible. I said, it's not an Android issue, it's a third party. I said, I bought a premium product because of the App Store. Oh, hang on, it's not called App Store, is it? Because of the Google Play Store.
Yeah.
I don't feel I'm getting a premium experience. And I said, okay, sir, the only way you can send it back is if you read me the IMEI number off the box, which annoyed me a little bit because I just told him I was blind.
Yeah.
I was like, am I going to read that then? And he went, oh yeah. It's on the phone in the settings, whereabouts. I'm not too sure. Yeah, you're really ruining the premium experience. So eventually I got someone to help me find the IMEI, gave him the IMEI. Turns out he didn't actually issue the refund.
What?
So I had to call back the next day to talk to somebody else who said, yeah, he left it open. He didn't actually give you a refund, so you can't send it back yet. I need the IMEI again. I was like, oh, what? No, I just want to send it back. I just want to send it back, get my money back. I don't want to jump through these hoops. So yeah, it's eventually gone back, but it took me a week to be able to send it back.
Yeah.
And it was just, this is painful. So that's complaint number one
right.
of technology failure this week. My second complaint... Pre-ordered the new Apple TV.
Yeah.
I used Touch ID. Release day Friday, didn't arrive. I was like, what's going wrong? Checked my order. Somehow it had gone to someone else's address.
Brilliant.
I was like, what? How did that happen then? But that address must have appeared in my Apple account history at some point in time. For some reason, it became the default address. So that, I couldn't get hold of it. No one was ever in at that house to accept the package to give it to me. It kept getting bounced, to which point I was really fed up. So I just went and bought one from a shop.
No way.
With the idea.
You left the house?
I left the house, yeah. Well, actually, I had to go somewhere and happened to be a shop on the way back. I was coming back from London. I was popping and get one. So I popped in, got one, brought it home. It was broken.
Oh.
I plugged it in. And it booted into his store. I was like, oh, what? This is just massive tech failure. I was like, oh, I'm not even going to flash this. You need a USB-C cable to flash it. I was like, oh, I don't even own a USB-C cable. But because Google hadn't let me return the phone yet.
You did.
I did. So I unpacked the Nexus, got out the USB-C cable, flashed it, plugged it back in the TV, didn't work.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. Obviously, I was a bit angry at them, just going, oh. Long story short, flashed it again, it worked. I was like, yes, thank God. So this meant I had to send back my other one.
Yeah.
Just rung up, told them what was going on, and they went, yeah, don't worry, we'll sort it. Is your money back? I was like, oh, that's premium experience. Right. One call, all sorted. So then my tech story complaints. On the positive side, I do now have an Apple TV.
You do?
The new one.
I've seen it.
Do you know what? Controlling the TV through voice.
Yeah.
Is a surprising step forward.
It's not as dreadful as the Siri experience on a phone.
It's better. I know that sounds tough because obviously we always see me failing with Siri on the phone.
Mm.
But no, I think when we discussed it on Siri originally, because it's so restrictive in terms of what Siri can do.
Yeah.
There's not as much room for error. So all you can do is, you know, like do basic show searches and launch apps and things like that. So yeah, it hasn't erred on me yet. But the thing I have bumped into is, oh, I've noticed a lot of things I watch. There's actually lots of things by the same name.
Oh.
So that throws me. Because I'm like, show me House of Cards. It's like, which House of Cards? I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, well. I don't know, because they're all called House of Cards, and obviously this is done by pictures. I don't know which one I want. I want the one that I was watching a minute ago.
If they dated it, because obviously the British House of Cards was made in the 80s.
But they haven't.
Mm.
It's not in the title, at least. Obviously, if I go through...
Yeah.
...and then read the description, then yes.
Yeah.
But it'd be nicer if it was called House of Cards 2000.
Yeah.
But that... That's how people choose to name it. But the gaming, the gaming's quite good.
I had a quick go, That was interesting seeing Crossy Road on a big screen.
I think what it's really highlighted is, obviously I'm not really playing the games, but the family are.
Hmm.
When you're playing a game on the phone, you just don't notice the music as much.
No.
As soon as it's on a big screen, it's really expansive.
Yeah.
Really engaging.
I've got to be honest, the vast majority of the time I play games on my phone, I mute the sound.
Is that because it's tinny?
It's more because I'm playing it in a public space, and if I've not got headphones in, I don't want to be annoying people.
Yeah.
And if unless it's 100% necessary for the sound, or there's some games that I've downloaded, and it's literally like people say... The music on this is fantastic, or the sound is essential. Yeah. And I'll plug in some headphones, but the vast majority of the time, I don't want to be messing about with headphones.
Did you used to play Peggle with sound?
On my phone, no.
Really?
Yeah.
But I used to like a little ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, it's always good. And then obviously Ode to Joy, fantastic. But yeah. I played Peggle on my iPhone. I also played it on the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
So I'd had the experience of the sound, but I used to play it without sound on my phone.
God.
Mm.
That's an entire experience of the game, isn't there, Neil?
Yeah.
It really is. It is great on the TV. The games are very interesting for the price point.
Yeah.
I think that's all I'm going to get better as time goes on. I've quickly gone to the top of the charts. The top selling apps on the device are all games.
Really?
Well, actually, one of them's a Plex clone, but a real Plex is out now. But yeah, it is a very enjoyable experience to use.
Yeah.
There's some real gaping holes in it. But as ever, Apple like the MVP, minimally viable product.
Yeah.
They don't like to add all the features. They like features to come out in the next version of the operating system.
Look what we've got for you here. Isn't this amazing? Yeah, it'd been nice 3 years ago.
Yeah, and they've done exactly the same thing. Like, you can't even attach a Bluetooth keyboard.
What?
Yeah. And you can't even use your phone as a keyboard.
Apple are funny with Bluetooth, aren't they?
Yeah. I don't think the particular fans... they probably are going to move towards their own protocol at some point.
Yeah.
But I can't... The only keyboards they have now are Bluetooth.
Mm.
So it's... And what's really weird is... During the setup procedure, when you plug in the new Apple TV...
Yeah.
You can say, would you like to set up from another device?
Right.
So then what happens is it pings to your iPhone... And you set it all up from your iPhone.
Oh, that's quite cool.
So there's the capacity there.
Yeah.
To use the phone as a keyboard, but then it doesn't allow to use the phone as a keyboard once you're actually using it.
Presumably that's done over Wi-Fi rather than Bluetooth.
What, the original pairing? No, it's Bluetooth.
Is it Bluetooth, right?
Yeah, because you can do Bluetooth without the pairing procedure, can't you?
Yeah.
Because that's what my kitchen scales use.
Right.
They don't use the pairing procedure. Yeah, it just, you know, it sends it. So yeah, it just does that. And I think it does it by the closest device, because when we were setting up, there was obviously a few iPhones in the room.
Yeah.
And I think it was the figures out whatever device is close. I know maybe it's trying to do some kind of triangulation. But yeah, you can set it up with the phone. So then the fact that you can't type, especially with an app store.
Yeah.
When you're searching for apps, you're like, well, can I just type in the name of the app? And like, oh no, I've got to go.
Yeah. I was just in my head, I was equating it to the Xbox smart glass thing, which is, that's done over Wi-Fi rather than, and it's like a similar sort of thing.
Yeah.
But
so
yeah.
The smart glass can use as a keyboard for your Xbox, can't you?
Yeah.
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 I cannot understand why they're not doing it. Well, I can. It's that they can put it in the next operating system.
Yeah.
Like, hey, look what we like to do now.
And look, we've just announced a bunch of new Bluetooth keyboards.
You can't have four-player games.
Lame.
Yeah. Especially nowadays as well, a lot of people have 50-inch and above TVs.
Yeah.
So a four-player game, you get a pretty big piece of real estate. Although, I can remember doing split-screen gaming.
Yeah.
On what, like, a 22-inch screen?
Yeah, definitely.
Or can you remember, like, playing four-player Mario Kart, and you pretty much had the same size screen as a Game Boy?
Basically.
It was tiny, wasn't
it? Four people trying to crowd around the teeny tiny TV.
I can actually remember, I think this was original Xbox, right? You could play Forza. I think it was on the LAN. So we were around with mates and we put TVs lined up next to each other.
Nice.
Because, yeah, so you didn't have to do split screen because, TVs weren't particularly big.
No.
Back then.
They were all 4:3 and yeah, God, memories.
Yeah, so I actually, my computer monitor is bigger than like my third TV I had.
Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Only now am I getting into bigger TVs. You know, now I can't see the screen. I'm like, yeah, it's going to really be good. It's got a really big, high-quality screen because I can't see it. It sounds terrible. maybe if I put a soundbar in there.
It's got such a tiny bezel and as a result, the speakers are rubbish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tell me about it.
Yeah.
It's, I'd love a soundbar.
Yeah.
I really would. Actually, that's one of the interesting features I haven't tested on the Apple TV yet. There's an audio feature where it makes voices louder, but the background noise quieter.
Oh, that's cool.
So it emphasises the voice.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. I am disappointed that Netflix doesn't allow audio description.
Weird.
So you can't turn on audio description in the app. You could on Netflix on the Apple TV 3.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
It's because on the new Apple TV, none of the apps are installed as default.
Right.
So Netflix is an app you have to download from the App Store.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing because that means Netflix can constantly update it and do lots to it. But I think what they tried to do is to push it out the door.
Yeah.
Again, with minimal features just to get it out the door so it's there.
Yeah.
Day one, usable. They need to do a lot of updating. But it is lightning quick.
Yeah.
I'll say like a TV show and it'll flick to Netflix and boom, it's there. There seems to be no loading time. Everything just seems instant, snappy. It's a really good device. I'd highly recommend it for any sort of casual gaming, media streaming,
yeah,
or if you're into Netflix. And BBC iPlayer have finally agreed now to do an app.
Cool.
After being shamed into it.
It's weird because physically, from the pictures that I saw of it, it looks a lot taller than an Apple TV, the old Apple TV. But when you look at it in real life, it's not that big. It doesn't seem anywhere near as big as I thought it was going to be.
It's a lot bigger than the old Apple TV.
It is, but I don't know why I was expecting it to be taller. But yeah, it looks smaller than I was expecting.
I'm interested to why it is so big. I think a lot of that is going to seem really weird for Apple, but I think that's a lot of that is empty space.
Really?
Yeah, I'd love to see like a teardown. We should look for a teardown.
Yeah.
Because I think the reason there's a lot of empty space is because they're allowing that chip to run super hot.
Yeah, so it's for cooling.
Yeah, whereas in the iPhones or the iPads, they can't really let that chip get that hot. So yeah, I think they are really clocked that chip up, then they're allowing it to get burning hot. Because essentially, why does it need to be that big? It's got 64 gig of storage, and it's using hardware that you'd find in a mobile device.
Yeah.
What? You can make that tiny.
Yeah.
Well, look, but I've got the same spec in my iPhone 6S there.
Yeah.
So why does it need to be that big? It's got to be cooling. I can't imagine any other reason why you'd make it that big unless you just want it that size for presents. That doesn't seem like something Apple would do.
No, it doesn't.
So now we'll have to have a look on iFixit, see if they've torn it down and see how much space there is in it. So now I've talked about how... Oh, no. There's one more thing I've bought this week. I seem to have bought a lot of tech this week.
What else have you bought?
OnePlus X. Every week we do an update about invites for the OnePlus 2.
Yeah.
I got my OnePlus X invite 2 hours before I got my OnePlus 2 invite.
Right, and you'd been waiting for the OnePlus 2 for months for the invite.
Yeah, I signed up before you did.
You did?
I was higher on the list than you. You were
higher on the list than I was, and I've had mine now for some time.
Yeah, and I only just got it, so I ended up just getting the OnePlus X because it was cheaper. But yeah, I still really do want an Android phone to play with. I just didn't want to spend £450 on an Android phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not for me.
Fair enough.
So I suppose we best touch on a little bit of news that we've read this week, Neil. Have you got any news that you've read this week?
Yeah.
Bentley.
Oh, yeah, that was a weird one. Although you know more about it than I do, to be honest.
Yeah, well, Bentley have released an app that helps the super wealthy.
Brilliant. That's buy what we need.
A super expensive car. Because when I want to drop $250,000 on my new Bentley, I don't know if it is $250,000, by the way, I'm just telling that number, it could be more. I find it so hard to decide what colour interior to have, what paint job. I don't even know what type of woodman I am. What type of woodman? Are you mahogany? Rosewood?
I'm not particularly interested in your wood.
You should know what type of wood is your favourite wood. But if you can't decide what wood you like, this app is here to help.
Yeah.
Rather than flicking through a catalogue and just clicking this and clicking that, it shows you photos, but not photos of the different types of wood or interiors or paint jobs.
Yeah.
Just scenes, like, let's say, a beach scene or an office scene. And then it reads your emotional response to those photos. And they've already paired those photos with particular interiors and particular paint jobs.
Yeah.
So by just watching a series of photos, it then makes your perfect Bentley.
Very nice.
I think it's only a problem for the super wealthy. Because apparently, we can all use the app, you know, not many of us are going to be able to click by.
Yeah.
But if you pull faces and stuff, it knows.
Okay.
That you're not taking it serious. Yeah. It's just... I was actually talking to a company on Monday who were called Company X.
Okay.
And we were talking about emotion detection and whether people are going to be accepting of it. And there was this real debate where... I don't think they are. It was... Because the BBC are investing in it for response to their TV shows.
Yeah.
They've just put a big investment into emotion detection. And we've all accepted that we're willing for our private information to be sold for us to use services for free, a la Google. that's why we all get Gmail and Google Apps and so on, and even Facebook and Twitter. So that's things like what we like, what we get up to, our age, locations.
Yeah.
But is advertisers knowing our emotional state a step too far? And Company X seem to believe yes.
It's a weird one. Because Monday, I was in a really bad mood.
Hi.
I was in a stinking awful mood.
Did we work out Monday? I think we did. Yeah, we did. Threw weights around, yeah.
Yeah.
But, angry mood.
Grr, weights. But yeah, I was in a stinking awful mood for the vast majority of the day. It started right from me getting to work, and then just, it was one of those days where anything that could go wrong did. And on, at lunchtime, I went into a Tesco that's near where I am.
Yeah.
And I was paid for my items at a self-checkout because I didn't want to talk to anyone because I was in a bad mood. And I started walking towards the staircase that I need to walk up to get to my workplace.
Yeah.
And there were some bucket shakers, charity donations, stood there with a big like board behind them saying what they did. And I just thought, I've got a face like I'm going to kill somebody. So there is no way they're going to pick on me because... Yeah. You know, the look on my face basically says, if you speak to me, I'm going to rip your face off.
Yeah.
And I was wearing, I've got a T-shirt that's got Captain Obvious written on it and a little comic book strip based on a non-existent superhero called Captain Obvious. As I started walking past this bucket shaker, he went, Captain Obvious, would you like to? And I just shot him a stare as if to say, can you not read my facial expression? Can you not tell that I'm having a freaking awful day and just you speaking to me makes me want to hurt you? So from that kind of perspective, there's part of me that thinks that it could be useful by...
Knowing when and when not to advertise.
Yes.
Yes, but then the argument would be... They would want to know your emotional state. That would be reported back.
Yeah, clearly.
If it was a system where only the machine knew.
Yeah.
And it never reported it back, perhaps more interesting.
Hmm.
But emotion's a very strange one in a public space anyway.
True.
Because people know what emotion you're displaying.
Yeah.
So then is that going a step too far? Because you're publicly displaying that emotion.
Yeah.
For example, you might be sad, but you're smiling. So the emotion detection system...
Isn't going to work.
...will identify the emotion you're choosing to show.
Yes.
So it's a very nuanced argument. And I think as the emotion detection systems move forward, it's happening. And it's going to be how invasive and how people choose to use it.
Yeah.
Because I really don't understand this BBC project. I don't know how they're going to do it. How are they going to get cameras in everyone's house? Or is it going to be while you're watching iPlayer on your phone?
Yeah, it could be. Because, I mean, when you think about it, it just makes me think of the really successful Amazon phone with all the cameras on the front for the eye tracking. But yeah, it just makes me think of that and how that could be, those cameras could have been used for
emotion detection.
Emotion detection rather than eye tracking.
Because when you get a little splash screen, you get this in Android as well, and I don't feel any marshmallow, but it says this app wants to use your camera.
Oh, right.
Have you never seen? Oh, you don't use iPhone 8, have you?
No,
okay.
No.
So when you load up an app on iPhone now and it wants to use a camera, your microphone, it pulls a splash, says this app would like to use your camera, will you allow it?
Yeah.
So things like Instagram and Twitter and Facebook,
yeah,
to take photos. So I'm wondering if in the future that actually needs to stay. We want to use the camera because...
This app wants to track your emotions.
Yeah, rather than we're just going to use the camera.
Yeah.
But as, if you loaded up the BBC iPlayer up and asked you to use your camera, would you think, well, I don't want to use the camera?
Yeah.
Or would you just instinctively say, allow?
Because, I mean, technically, it doesn't need to tell you why it wants to use the camera. It's just saying, we want to use your camera. And you're going, fine, fair enough.
That's exactly my point.
Yeah.
But it's actually quite interesting because let's say, God forbid, we tie this into Tinder. Tinder's just an example. You could tie into lots of photo-based apps like Instagram, whatever.
Yeah.
But that's how you could do likes.
Yeah. Smile and frown.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So there's some really interesting scope there and how it could be integrated, but I think it's just got to be done so carefully. And if advertisers are going to sell that information on, or apps are going to sell that information to advertisers,
yeah,
it needs to be made seriously explicit. Because there's a difference between it happening out in the street and it's a billboard versus I'm sat at home with my smartphone in my hand.
Yeah.
And it's reading the emotions I'm displaying at home, which are perhaps different to the emotions I may display publicly. Yeah. It's interesting. I think it's probably a topic of conversation that's going to start appearing over the next 12 months, how appropriate this is. Because did you see the thing where Pizza Hut did it to choose your pizza?
No.
Yeah. Whether he was emotional, whether he was an eye tracking, I forget. But they had a menu. I think it could have been eye tracking.
Yeah.
Might have been eye tracking. And yeah, they gave you a menu, let's say it was on an iPod or whatever. And as you looked.
Oh, it was what you.
It then bing showed you your ideal pizza.
Yeah, I think it was eye tracking. It
must have been eye tracking, wasn't
it? Yeah, because it tracked what you spent the most time looking at.
Yeah. Gaze. Yeah, the future is emotion. We're probably all going to have to get used to it. Or maybe we'll push back for the first time. We'll see.
Yeah, it is a difficult one. Because, again, just because people, like you say, people do wear a mask, people don't necessarily display what they're feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. But arguably, you know, if we use it as a feature like I just mentioned for likes and stuff, is it any different from like pressing that like and dislike button?
No.
It's just if the information's sold on, I think.
Yeah.
Talking about likes and dislikes, Twitter has changed to likes instead of favourites.
From favourites. I've never understood favourites on Twitter. It's not something I've ever used because it didn't really make any sense to me because it didn't do anything. If I like something, I retweet it.
Right. I used to use it as a bit of a kudos, like high five.
Right.
Because it does notify the person.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
But I also used it for bookmarking.
Yeah. But if you get into a point where you're favouriting too many things, that becomes a bit useless.
But there's been a bit of an uproar because it's changed to a heart.
Right.
And a like is more suggestive of an endorsement that something that you like. Whereas a favourite doesn't necessarily suggest that. It could suggest that you're just interested in it and you're bookmarking it. Because favourites historically has been linked to bookmarking.
I guess.
So there's a little bit of a distinction there, and there's a bit of an uproar on the internet at the minute. The Twitterverse is kicking off because all your favourites have obviously been changed now to like. So they're saying that now I've red hearted things in the past which I might not have been willing to red heart. I was willing to favourite.
That seems a bit backwards to me, though, because to me, if I like something, like is just I like that. Whereas if I'm like, oh, that is my favourite. You know what I mean? To me, favourite is a stronger word than like.
Yeah, I think.
Well, I understand what you mean. The language has been changed because of its use on the internet.
Yeah, I think the language was very specific to Twitter and bookmarking.
Yeah.
And Well, Facebook just seemed to push the like thing to an unbelievable level. And we're moving more and more towards emoji anyway.
Remember pokes?
I do remember pokes.
What a pointless waste of time they were.
Can you still poke?
I don't know, actually. Somebody's poked you. Brilliant. Do you want to poke them back? I guess. And then they get a message saying somebody's poked you.
Do you want to poke them back? Some service where you could throw a virtual sheep at someone.
I don't remember that now.
I remember that. Can you remember, did we mention about this, about Google Buzz?
I don't think that was on the podcast.
Do we not mention that? No. Well, Google had a service in that we had to look at what it was called. It was their Twitter
equivalent.
Yeah, it was called Google Buzz. Buzz, right? When I was trying to find an accessible Twitter client for Android, I did some Googling, and the client it recommended was Google Buzz Twitter client. I was like, how outdated is that?
Crikey.
For it to be a Google Buzz client.
Yeah.
And that was the client that was recommended. And I was just, at that point, I really thought, accessibility on Android is not where the iPhone is.
Because I remember your buzzers, there was like a tab for it or something in Gmail. So all your buzzers were stored within Gmail. And if you searched for anything in Gmail, you'd get all your buzzers that had got related terms. And it was just wading through these things that are just things that I tweeted and then copied to Google Buzz because it was a thing.
I always struggled with GChat being within Gmail.
Oh, right.
Because I never noticed that people had messaged me.
Nobody ever messages me on GChat anyway, so...
Oh, I'm talking years ago, Neil. Yeah. I'm not saying like last night someone messaged me on GChat.
Yeah.
Because that has not happened in about 4 years.
Yeah,
I always struggle with it because I was like, oh, no, what? Oh, hang on, I can hear a noise. What's coming on? And I can never figure out that, oh, no, that's GChat. Someone's messaging you. No, definitely behind the times. So talking about tech, that's what we do.
We do.
But we're getting close to Christmas now, Neil.
Yes.
And I think it's probably about time we started our new weekly spot of Christmas present recommendations for people who like tech.
It's a cool idea.
It is a cool idea. I think we're going to kick off with stocking filler price gifts.
Cheap but useful.
Yeah, honestly, I use this every day.
Me too.
I absolutely could not live without this anymore. But there's three devices within the stocking filler recommendations. But the biggest of the three is the Anker 60-watt USB charger.
Yeah.
Which sounds like the world's most boring device. But it is frankly incredibly useful. It's basically a USB hub that just charges devices.
Yeah.
Six ports. You're thinking, why do I need that?
Yeah.
You need it.
I've got four of them permanently filled, and I use another one like at least two times a week. So five of them are getting used regularly.
At the minute, I have my iPhone charger, an Android charger, Fitbit charger, Apple Watch, and then I'm swapping it out. And it's so much easier. You don't need all the different plugs.
Yeah.
It's just USB. And what's really clever about it is it senses what device it is and gives the appropriate amount of power.
Yeah.
So if you've got a device that's like 1 amp or 1.5 or 2.1, it can detect what device it is and do the appropriate charging level.
Yeah, which is really, really cool. And plugs into a wall socket. I, with mine, because I'm uber lazy, I got some of those 3M... sticky tab things that you can stick to the wall, and then when you want to remove it, there's a little tab poking out, and you pull the tab and it removes the tab from the wall in such a way that it doesn't damage the paintwork or the wall.
Yeah, so like easy peel tabs.
Really cool. I got two of those and stuck mine to the wall by the side of my sofa. So
that's lazy.
It's really, really easily accessible.
And what I really like as well, another product, did we mention it was Anker? That's Anker, A-N-K-E-R. Another product by Anker, and that is just their cables.
Yeah.
Anker cables are fantastic quality. I don't even use official Apple cables anymore.
No.
I use all Anker. If you want to go premium, they even do like a nylon threaded cable.
Yeah.
Because have you got the threaded ones or have you just got the standard cables?
I've got the standard ones, but I bought a 5-pack. Of micro USB cables. They came in assorted lengths. There was a 3 foot, 6 foot and 1 foot, but there was 5 cables in total. And that was USB to micro USB, and it was £6.
Yeah, well, the Anker charge was £20, which I mentioned that. It's the 6 foot cable for me.
Mm.
You think, I'm not going to use a 6 foot cable.
Yeah, why would I use a 6 foot cable?
Oh my God, a 6 foot cable. So it's nice. Like a new world.
Yeah.
It's a new world of charging is a 6 foot cable. I think Anker now even do a 10 foot cable.
Crikey.
So yeah, if you really want to go for it, you can get a 10 foot charging cable.
Yeah.
And the threaded ones come in gold. They're basically colour match to iPhones.
Yeah.
So they've got a grey, a silver, and a gold. So yeah, great quality cables. I think even the 10 or the 6 foot ones are only £7.
Yeah.
Fantastic price point. Everyone always needs more charging cables now.
Yeah. And they are now making USB-C cables as well, but
Anker are.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what? Actually, a Google engineer.
Oh, I saw this.
Did you see this? Yeah, he's done a little project, hasn't he, where he's tested out all the USB-C cables.
Yeah.
So if people are buying USB-C this Christmas, be quite careful, because a lot of the cables are not actually up to spec.
Yeah.
And you definitely don't want to charge a device on a cable that is not up to spec.
No.
So I would, unless it's Anker or the official cable nowadays.
Yeah.
I don't buy it, because the Anker cables are all Apple certified.
Are they?
Yeah.
All right. They're really, and even the packaging's really nice.
Yeah.
Really nice packaging that it comes in.
Mm.
Just a reasonably priced cables that are really good quality.
Yeah. I would actually say the Anker MFI cables are actually better quality than the Apple cable.
I would probably agree with
that. If you buy the nylon thread ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot better quality.
Cool.
So yeah. And then the third one is the little sticky cable tidy pads.
Yeah, I just again, because I got that Anker charger on the wall, just to keep the ends of the cables tidied up, I just bought these little sticky pads that are cable tidies, and it's just a circular pad with a little clip in it, a little rubber clip in it, where you can just push the cable into it and it just keeps the ends all in one place.
They're super useful because cables always drop down the back of the sofa, down the back of the bed, down the back of the drawers.
In your cup of tea.
Yeah, whereas this just keeps it always at the top, clip it in.
Yeah. And
it's perfect.
I think I got 6 for £2 or something. Just ridiculously useful and stupidly cheap.
Yeah, so some great stuff. So we've got something from £2.
Yeah.
The cabling's £5.
Mm-hmm.
All the way up to £20 for the Anker charging station. But they do actually do a different version, a cheaper version.
They do a 40-watt.
They do a 40-watt. I think it's only got 4 ports.
Yeah.
So I think you need to think how many ports you're going to need, then add 3.
It's probably a good piece of advice, yeah. I was like, there's no way I'm going to use 6. I'm going to use 2. No, I'm using at least 4.
Yeah, when I first got it, I had 2 ports and I thought, I've gone a bit overkill here. This one. And then as time goes on, I'm like, another one's gone in.
Yeah.
Oh, another one's gone in.
With the rate at which you buy tech, Simon.
Hey, the mate has sent it back as well.
Good point.
It never stays here very long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just as a little throwaway as well, something I saw when I was flicking through some websites today, ThinkGeek. I've made a Death Star waffle iron.
Oh, I know, I want that.
It looks awesome. $40, circular waffle iron, and it just prints onto it the shape of
the
Death
Star. Is it an electric waffle iron?
Yeah.
Oh, so UK, it's not going to work.
Lame.
Well, for American listeners.
Yeah.
To be honest, there's probably already a knockoff one on Amazon.
Probably.
Yeah. Oh, I really want a smiley face pancake pan.
Smiley face pancake pan.
Smiley face pancake pan. So my pancakes have smiley faces. That's on my Christmas list.
Fair dues.
A smiley. But no, we're definitely going to keep the segment going. I think next week, Neil, we might do fitness.
Radio.
Fitness technology.
Yeah.
From £10.
To silly money.
To silly. Well, if you've got silly money, you can get some incredible.
Yeah.
In fact, when are we going to record next week? Because we're popping down to Techno Gym in London.
Mm.
We can probably get some videos of some really high-end kit.
Yeah.
That none of us can afford. We can look at it, though.
Yeah, we can look at it.
We can look and dream, think if we won the lottery,
yeah,
this is the Breathe of Health kit.
Or just while we're there, just pretend that, yeah, I might order one of these when I go home.
Yeah, I'll have to order it. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah.
So
just invoice me. It's 999 Bingo Bongo Lane.
Yeah. You know what? I actually rang them up. They didn't have a billing department for sending out invoices. I was thinking in my head, do you reckon they'd ship it before they invoiced me? But at which point they would know where I lived,
yeah,
and could always come and get it back. And I would owe them a lot of money.
These are all sounding like negatives.
I know, but we'll try and record. We might even record on the road.
Yeah,
could yeah, because we're away Thursday, Friday. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to do an on the road recording, Neil.
Cool.
So there will be background noise.
Tech Enthusiast on tour.
Yeah, well, we're going to a pretty cool place, so yeah.
Mm.
Looking forward to next week already, Neil. I'm going to do some research on the best fitness tech.
Definitely. Okay, well, I think that's it for this week. Again, if you want to check us out, you can tweet us at Enthusiast Tech. There's the website, techenthusiast.com. We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube. Just search for Tech Enthusiast.
I will throw in as well, if people would like to buy particular tech gifts for Christmas, you know, like let's say you want to buy something for someone.
Yeah.
Hang on, I should give an example there. Let's say you want to buy like a tablet or something like that, or like a tech gadget kit.
Yeah.
Yeah, feel free to message us and we'll try and do a little roundup of what the best are in different price ranges.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, well, that's it for this week. I'm Neil.
And I'm Simon.
And this has been Tech Enthusiast.